sing, Jesus is coming again. He may be any moment. So let's turn to page 84 and sing like we believe it. All three stanzas.
Thank you.
Jesus is coming again.
Marvelous vessels we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon,
find no fault. Something's happening in Pilate's hall.
Something's happening at Joseph's grave, where Jesus of Nazareth early in the morning, as the earth began.
Take your Bibles this morning, if you will. Turn to John chapter number 1. The Gospel of John chapter number 1. I want to change, maybe kind of style of preaching this morning. I knew we would have baby day and all of that. And actually, I don't think I have any points that I want to express here this morning. It's just a little thought I want to, a phrase in a verse that I just kind of want to magnify this morning in maybe a way I've never looked at it as I looked at it this past week. It's a common phrase and we all know it, but I want to start reading in verse number 29 and read down through verse number 34, all right? 29 through 34. On the next day, John, this is John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. By the way, that is a deified thought concept there from the Holy Spirit, for he was before me. It's the same type of Greek tense where you remember God said in Exodus chapter number 3, I believe it was, when Moses asked him, when Israel asked me what authority I have to be a leader over them, what answer shall I give to them? And of course, God looked at him and just say, I am that I am sent me. Y'all remember that? Okay, now, over in John chapter number 8 and verse number 58, when Jesus was proving that he was not simply a person sent from God, but that he was literally God in the flesh, he told those Pharisees, he says, Before Abraham was, I am. The little phrase, I am that I am, in Exodus Jehovah gave his name, the same name that Jesus gave over to the Pharisees that were fully religious and said only the Jews could be saved and save their way, Jesus said, who their father is Abraham, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Same name, same God, same everything. Here in the scripture, John the Baptist comes out of the wilderness. John the Baptist begins as a flaming fire, begins to preach repentance and faith in the kingdom of heaven, which is at hand, which means that the king of the kingdom, who is Jesus, is here, and will you receive him as a nation? In that thought, as John the Baptist now is moving out of the way, Jesus is moving now toward his ministry. In the Bible says that a statement is made in verse number 30, for he was before me. That means the same thing as I am that I am that sent thee. In other words, same deity phrase here. See, what makes us different? And I'm not going to say independent Baptists because not all independent Baptists are this way. But what makes this church different is because of our personal stand and belief and trust that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are identically the same person. Okay? Boy, y'all were quiet on that one. Okay? Your average Baptist does not believe that. Your average Baptist believes that somehow Jesus Christ is a lesser part of God because he is called the Son of God. Okay? That does not mean that. We just studied in our Bible college not long ago that there are three different groups in the Bible that are called the sons of God. The first ones are Adam. Adam was called the Son of God. Number two, those angels that left their first estate, followed Lucifer into this universe, that had sex with human women and produced that offspring that God caused the flood of the earth to come and destroy every human being but Noah and his family. These were lost or fallen angels. They were called the sons of God in Job 38:7. Then every one of us, 1 John chapter 3. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, we that are saved, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, everything God is, we get the inheritance thereof. Because we came through Jesus, which is the only way a human being can be saved and get to God." That's the only way. So John is giving a tribute to that. He says in verse 31, "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel," being the King of Kings, "therefore am I coming, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit." When John baptized Jesus, he saw the Spirit. He said, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him," Jesus being baptized. "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." In other words, John is saying, "I am a witness that Jesus is literally God." Now, I want to change all of that text around, and I want to change the attitude of this sermon altogether this morning and match it with this phrase this morning and go back to verse number 29. Now, remember this. John the Baptist comes out of the wilderness. He's wearing camel hair as clothing. He's drinking honey, and he's eating wild honey and eating locusts, drinking honey. All right, there we go. All right, that's the way they go. In other words, if we saw him today coming out of the Altamaha River, we would call every law enforcement we could and have him sent up to Savannah. Okay? He was a wild man. I mean, that was John the Baptist, but he was prophesied in the Old Testament 3 different times that he was coming and going to lead the way for the king and his kingdom, which is Christ and his kingdom. Of course, the Jews rejected Christ as a nation. Therefore, he postponed that kingdom, and it will not happen out yet to the future, and he opened this church age. But John is this wild man. John is a man that preached like no one had ever heard in all of their life as far as the nation of Israel. Now remember, they had Elijah the prophet, they had Ezekiel the prophet, they had Isaiah the prophet, Jeremiah the prophet, Nahum the prophet, Zechariah, Zephaniah the prophets. I mean, these guys stood out on the street corners and prophesied to Israel every day of their life that God was coming back. They better get back right with God. I mean, they were punching them left and right. Do you get the attitude what I'm saying? They got up like the old hellfire damnation preachers of yesteryear and really didn't care what anybody thought. What God gave them in Scripture, they just got up and hurled it. John came the same way. John came loud. John came mean. John came angry. But was John that way in verse 29? That's where I want to lay our thought concept this morning. I want to preach on the subject this morning, full of Jesus. Just simply thought, full of Jesus. Now, whatever you deem to be full, I want you to picture Jesus that way in your life. Okay? Now, when John comes on the scene and he makes this statement, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." What was the attitude of John? What was John actually saying it? And how was John saying it? Now, I know here at Bible Baptist Church, I'm deaf. All right? And when I'm deaf, if I don't have my hearing aids in, I really get loud on things that should not have been loud when they were preached, okay? And the reason for that is because I can't hear myself. A person that cannot hear themselves will lose their voice very easily because they're straining their vocal cords. So the reason I have hearing aids in both ears is to not be so loud. Am I real loud? No, I'm not. To me, I sound like I'm screaming. It's because of these two hearing aids that I'm hearing, and it's keeping my voice under check. Now, every once in a while in a sermon, I'll override those two hearing aids, and I'll get real loud for various reasons. It might be I see somebody sleeping. It might be I see somebody that doesn't seem to be interested. I see somebody that continuously, as I'm going over the auditorium, that is looking down at their lap, playing with a baby, writing notes or something of that nature, and I'll be thinking ahead of what I can do to get their attention back to me. It might go to the door and open the door. It might be to pick up a songbook and just throw it in the general direction. Then it might be get the songbook and throw it directly at that individual. I don't know. You know, I'm no good if you're not listening. Okay? God's word is not effective if you're not listening. So I want you listening. But I don't think John that next day, in fact, if you go back up and you see what's going on here, verse 23, he said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. That's not a wah, 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 wah. That's one screaming. I mean, he doesn't have a captive audience out there. He's got people around the rocks in the wilderness. He's got people in the tree line in the wilderness. Some people he can't even see. He's just screaming it. He says, I'm the voice crying, the one crying in the wilderness, making straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah, they which sent were the Pharisees, and they asked him what he said, why baptize them, blah, 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 blah. And verse number 27, it is he coming after me, is prepared before me, whose shoes latches I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Beth Dibara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, in other words, that's over with now. John's not screaming anymore. The next day, John is in a certain place and he looks down the road. When he looks down the road, he makes a statement. He says, and I don't know that he pointed. It just makes common sense to me, you know, the way we are in our day and time. We say, you know, there's the man. There's the man. I don't know that he did it at all. I don't know. I do not think he screamed it like the voice of the wilderness. I believe his tone was because when you introduce Christ, you haven't been introduced to loud yet. Okay, if John would have screamed, it would not have been as the voice of thunder that Jesus spake. In fact, Jesus spake to a point to where they had a cliche about him which said, no man spake as this man. What did they mean by that? Did they talk about volume? I don't think it was talking about quality of speech, because the prophets had preached everything Jesus preached. Something in his voice was so demanding, but this is not Jesus speaking. This is John. This is John seeing Jesus come down the road. I don't know how far away he was, but he simply made the statement, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. I got to thinking about that, and that began to, a man that had angry rebukes. Many times in my preaching I have angry rebukes. Any preacher, when they preach the Word of God, because sin is so prevalent and it's so wicked and so vile, that we want to scream it. Do you? You know, you get a kid. How many's ever screamed at their youngin? You ever screamed at your youngin? And at times it really didn't make any difference whether anybody else was around or not. I mean, you know, the wife will get on you. You don't need to be screaming at the kids like that. 5 minutes, she's going to be screaming at the kids. I mean, it's just something about a kid that does something that you want to elevate your voice and make sure they understand the point. You do that again, you're dead. Just one more time, that's it. It's amazing how the counting system has even got that way now. You can hear a mother counting three for her child 4 aisles in the grocery store over. 1, 2, and everybody hauls all out in the grocery store. 3, do it, do it, do it. You know, but I don't think John was doing that. John was saying, enough of my hollering, enough of my screaming. I want to say the way the Lord's led me this morning, enough of my hollering, my rebukes about sin and those that do it, enough about bickering over what's right and what's wrong. I think we do way too much bickering over liquor and drugs and cussing and gossiping and carrying on. I think we're, a lot of times we're, we could do so much more by just looking at that person and say, hey, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Turn around, walk off. Roger Clark, I believe. Yeah, Roger Clark, who was one of the English martyrs, when they tied him to the stake and the fire was burning, the last words out of his mouth, very calmly, were, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Roger Clark died. Can you imagine the epitaph written on his name the second he died and he was present with Christ? Jesus, I would have said, looked at Roger Clark and said, you know, Roger, you're a great preacher. You let it go. But you couldn't have nailed it more on the head in that fire, those last words you said. Those last words you said went to every ear that was there. And they will all go home. And Roger, some will be saved because of that. Because you left the bickering and the anger, the confusion, the defense. You just left it all out of the way and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I got to thinking, why would John the Baptist do that? You ever thought of that? No, you haven't. I knew you hadn't. But I think, first of all, when John said that by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and his tone changed when he said that, I think John the Baptist was totally thinking about himself first. There he is. No need for me to preach anymore. No need for me to holler and scream anymore. I'll just baptize from here on out, and I'll tell them about Jesus, because there can be no greater example of preaching than, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He said, if nobody else needed that, I need that in my life. You don't have to persuade a sinner that they're a sinner. You don't even have to tell. Look, I wouldn't even have to mention drinking or anything of that nature this morning to remind you that you were wrong when you did it this past week. I wouldn't have to scream. I wouldn't have to holler. It would all come to freshness of countenance by me simply getting up this morning and just giving a statement. Hey, y'all, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And you would feel so convicted. You would feel so, let me get under a chair and hide. What was I thinking when I did that? Because there's none like him. I think John thought about the crowd that immediately was around him. Something else I think he was thinking about too. I want you to notice verse 35. I read on into it, and it said, again the next day. Now watch this. Watch this. John preaches and he baptizes. The next day, he sees Jesus coming down the road. And he simply says, different tune altogether. Maybe his throat was like Sammy Kennedy, real raspy. And maybe from that sermon the day before, he couldn't hardly get it all out. Been there, done that. He just simply said, you know, my body's tired, and I'm tired, but I'll tell you one thing. Here's what'll just the sum of it all. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he stopped. And the Bible says, the next day, after he calmly said that, look what happened. And he said, again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked by, watch this. Behold, the Lamb of God. You know, maybe he did it this way, and y'all work with him and participate here. Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. He had just said it in a way that got everybody's attention. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Do you think maybe he just said, behold the Lamb of God, and they finished the sentence? Because it thrust it into their souls so deep and so hard. Next time you get ready to gossip, right before you start it, say, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Sip. Next time before you get in the car with the wrong crowd, just say to your heart, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You'll turn around and you'll walk off. How could I? You sinner that's sitting here this morning, I'm sparing you this morning. I'm actually not what you would call scouring down on you this morning. I'm not old brother Mean Mike this morning. I'm just saying, hey, whatever's wrong with you, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It's all you need. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You don't need to change. Just remember, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You really don't even need to come forward. Right where you are, you can recognize Him as, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So the truth of the matter is, it's probably the shortest sermon I ever preached, but it's the most powerful one I ever preached because of what it has. It has everything you need to walk out of this building with a smile on your heart, a smile on your face, knowing that the Lamb of God has taken away your sins. Father, bless our people. These babies, so kind, none of them want to hurt anybody. I think this morning, and I thought of this immediately when I saw little Brooklyn, when that little baby dropped her gift, didn't even hesitate to come pick up that little gift. And I don't know about you, but I was kind of thinking, you know, being a kid, she was going to take that back to her place and have two gifts. But she never hesitated to give that gift right back to the little baby that dropped it. My, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What do you need this morning? To be reminded that you're not walking in the right direction, that your life is a total mess, that nothing seems to be working, that phrase, if you really meant it from your heart and got full of it, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, how you can make a change in your attitude, in your life, and those around you. I didn't finish, but what happened on that next day after the next day was that John told his friends to go get somebody else and bring them to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Father, bless these thoughts this morning. And that's all I can say is bless these thoughts, because that's all I had was these thoughts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.